My knees buckled, my stomach turned, and I felt the strength drain from my body. It was my sophomore fall at Harvard, and after a long week of classes, I'd stopped by the campus convenience store. Standing alone in the toothpaste aisle, I finally asked myself the question I'd managed to avoid for years. Am I gay? The answer was obvious. It could have been obvious for years if I hadn't worked so hard to ignore it. But it was also terrifying. Even though I was going to a school that embraced gay students and living in a state that had legalized gay marriage years earlier, I suddenly found myself feeling hopeless. Life at college wasn't the problem. The problem was 1,600 miles away, in Wichita, Kansas. I'd been at school for only a little over a year, and Kansas remained far more important to me than Cambridge, Massachusetts. But for everything I enjoyed about my home state, most people I knew there made a significant exception to their Midwestern friendliness. Gay people. My Presbyterian church, in particular, was filled with kind-hearted, caring Christians. But when it came to homosexuality, their views were set. If you were in a gay relationship, you were living in sin. Period. Still frozen in place at the back of the convenience store, my new reality triggered memories. With each one came a fresh wave of anguish. Take the summer before I left for college. Our pastor had lamented from the pulpit that progressives in our denomination were advocating for the ordination of, quote, practicing homosexuals. Heads shook in dismay and disappointment. My parents were opposed to the gay rights movement, even though my older sister and I had become more open to the issue. My final year of high school, my sister, Christine, returned from college with the news that one of her close friends had come out. I'll call him Josh. Mom, who had known and loved Josh since he was born, was devastated. Dad questioned Josh's judgment. How does he know he can never marry a woman? Dad asked. Well, he's gay, Dad, I said. Why would he? I'm not convinced he couldn't overcome this. It just seems like he's decided not to try. That night, Christine and I shared our frustrations. They just don't get it, she said. Josh marrying a woman would be a recipe for disaster. I still didn't know what to think about gay marriage, but I wasn't all that fazed by her friend's revelation. The gay people I'd met at school seemed normal enough, and criticizing them for not trying to be straight didn't make sense. Whether it was a sin or not, gay people were still gay, and ignoring their orientation wasn't going to help. But my dad didn't know any openly gay people, and he'd always understood the Bible to be against homosexuality. If God was against it, Dad said, God wouldn't make anyone gay. So even if some people struggled with same-sex attraction, he was confident they could develop heterosexual attractions over time. Other students came and went from the convenience store. But I stood there, ashen. I stared blankly at rows of toothpaste, thinking about the year Josh came out, and what would happen when I did, too. For Josh, coming out to his family had been agonizing. Our church, he rightly guessed, would not have been any happier to hear his news. Not wanting to subject himself to widespread rejection, he left town for his out-of-state college. He left church, too. This was a young man who often shared his musical talents with our church, singing and playing original songs in front of hundreds on Sunday mornings. He was one of the smartest kids in high school, and he was voted onto homecoming court his senior year. Now, when people talked about him, it was in hushed tones. The sense of shame over what people assumed to be his decision was palpable. Feeling rejected by our church and alienated from God, Josh started much of his life over on the West Coast. In time, he found it impossible to keep believing in a loving God. As he saw it, the God of the Bible required him to hate a core part of himself. Not surprisingly, he also gave up on the Bible, since it had been the instrument that taught others to reject that part of him too. Thankfully, his family came around over time, and they now embrace him. But much of the damage from our church's stance had already been done. Josh's faith, along with the church community that first nurtured it, was already lost. I walked home from the store that night, feeling sick. All weekend, I could barely eat or sleep. Trying to concentrate on my philosophy paper or my Spanish assignment was impossible. In the days and weeks ahead, I did my best to figure out a way forward. Josh's path, as much as I empathized with him, didn't seem bearable to me. The losses would be too great. My faith had been of central importance to me for as long as I could remember. When I was 2 years old, my parents bought me a children's Bible, which I studied diligently over the years. One Sunday, while riding home from church at the age of 3, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I would repeat this request countless times before I made it to middle school, just to make sure it worked.